It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back, quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Jim Galante here. Back from the Labatt Blue studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. The dust has barely settled on the 2019 season, but we're looking ahead to 2020 already. It's going to be something that we focus on a lot as we get into the off season here, especially as we get beyond National Signing Day, trying to project out a little bit. There's a lot to discuss as far as that goes. We discussed, for example, a couple weeks ago, the scholarship table and how Penn State is going to get down to 85 will be something that we watch with interest as the off season goes on, the transfer portal too. But in particular, you know, coming out of the bowl game, Penn State makes a hire at the offensive coordinator spot. Kirk Ciarrocca, who's from Central Pennsylvania originally, has been with PJ Fleck for a while, offensive coordinator at Minnesota. It's a Minnesota team that really laid the blueprint for how to beat Penn State's defense. Executed it to perfection, has a reputation. You know, number one, James Franklin said he wanted to be at Penn State and that he's a believer in hiring guys who want to be at Penn State. And Kirk Ciarrocca wanted to be back to where he came from, kind of like, you know, Brent Pry, kind of like James Franklin. Joe Moorhead was a Pennsylvania guy and brought it. So you're starting to detect a little bit of a theme here in what James Franklin is looking for from his assistants. So what we're going to do is just try to look at what Kirk Ciarrocca was able to do at Minnesota and how it's going to translate to the personnel they have in 2020. But first and foremost, I don't think you got an opportunity to really discuss it, but your thoughts on the hire itself, where Penn State was and whether you thought Kirk Ciarrocca, how close to the best case scenario is he?
Well, we did briefly get a chance to talk about it on our show with Andy and Ross.
That news broke on Thursday.
Right, and for those who don't know, we do record our weekend show. We do record it on Thursday. So while we were here in the studio is when the news broke. And we were very fortunate. I don't know if you knew this, Dustin, or not. Ciarrocca coached at Princeton when Ross was there.
I saw you mentioned it. So what did Ross have to say about Kirk?
He was very high on the hire. He thought very highly of the guy, which is great to have someone who personally knows them comes back with the positive feedback. And more important than Ross's opinion, my opinion is...
Absolutely.
Okay. When you see a guy take a program like Minnesota and build it to what it has become there, and PJ Fleck giving this guy a lot of credit. If you go back to the Penn State-Minnesota game, post-game press conference, PJ Fleck gave a lot of credit to this guy for what they did. So seeing the guy who probably took lesser talent and game-planned it to do what he did with Minnesota against Penn State, I think it bodes really well for the guy. Also, you asked, you know, best case scenario. Well, I'm not sure that Joe Brady was the big name that everybody was talking about. And I'm not sure when you see that, you're not sure if it's scheming or Joe Burrow just had a phenomenal year. Those receivers are phenomenal. I'm sure there is something to it to Joe Brady, but he has probably the best talent in the country.
Yeah.
No one's going to argue that Minnesota has the best talent in the country, or maybe not even top 20 talent. And to do what they did, scheme what they did against Penn State, very impressive.
So there are a couple of things that really jump off the page when you're looking at just this edition of Minnesota's offense and Kirk Ciarrocca, his role and his strengths as a coordinator. Number one, we're getting those big wide receivers involved, and they had themselves a day against Penn State. And I think that's something that is a strength of his is using those guys in a – effective but simple way. I don't think Kirk Ciarrocca is trying to reinvent the wheel. I think it's just a matter of sometimes you line up, You determine what your own strengths are, and you play to your own strengths. It sounds very simple, but I don't think that's something that Penn State has done since Joe Moore had left. I don't think that you can look at the last two seasons, and I'm not trying to knock Ricky Ronnie, of course, but what would you say is the identity of the offense? I don't think you can point at one thing and say this is what Penn State is going to do offensively. And it's fine. I think it's fine to say, hey, we're going to take what the defense gives us. You always have to do that. It's bullheaded if you're just going to cram what you're going to do without adjusting at all. But at the same time, doesn't that kind of by its very nature allow the defense to dictate what's happening?
Well, I think there always has to be a balance between we do what we do and we do it really well, and that's how it's going to pan out well for us. But with that said, there's got to be the balance to look at your opponent and say, here's how we can use our talents to take advantage of them. Against Memphis, Penn State found something that they could do and be successful with, which was running the ball. And you know, maybe they didn't think that before the game. Maybe they did, but certainly not to this level that we're going to run the ball 50 times and pass the ball 20. I don't think there was anybody on Penn State staff who thought that was going to be the ratio, but they reacted to the game circumstances and did it that way. There was another quote from PJ Fleck that I thought really spoke well of Shiraka. Was he talked about prior to playing Penn State, this guy locked himself into a room watching film and came away with a game plan that obviously was very effective. That's nice to hear, and I always talk about this, that post-game James Franklin keeps talking about the opponent had a good game plan. When are we going to have the good game plan is what I always want to ask as the question, and this guy appears to be the type who would have a specific game plan based on the opponent and using the strengths of his own team.
So you're gonna see, and I think everybody's looking at this like, okay, number one, this guy's gonna get his wide receivers going. 2,000-yard wide receivers in Rashad Bateman and Tyler Johnson. Penn State doesn't have a Rashad Bateman on its roster right now, but I think they're going to run about 12 deep. We'll see what happens with the transfer portal and all that. They're going to run about 12 deep with guys who are high three and four star talents. There's going to be plenty of choices in the receiving game. We'll see what he's able to do with those, but I don't think you're going to see him try to shove square pegs in round holes either. You're going to look at what the strengths are of the offense, and wide receiver could still be one. I think that another thing that's happened over the past 2 years is that I don't think it's unfair to say that the wide receivers have been underwhelming. You know, and that's last year. That's with a new position coach, but they've been underwhelming.
And I think, Dustin, sometimes it's not for lack of talent in the wide receiver room. Sometimes those guys just need a fresh start, which I think a new offensive coordinator can provide that for some of the players. The other part, the advantage of this is having a new set of eyes coming in. And this is a guy, he runs things that are similar to the Penn State offense. He's not going to totally reinvent the wheel, but you've got someone who could see the forest for the trees, perhaps, by coming in from outside. And I think that's always a good thing for a team. So I believe Penn State fans have good reason to be optimistic with the new guy coming in.
Keep it simple. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid.
Let me ask you, what changes would you like to see him make?
Well, I do think incorporating his wide receivers in a more consistent way. And it's tricky. This is a tricky group of wideouts. Like, you know, your top two are guys who are not physical marvels at all, and Jahan Dotson and KJ Hamler. Now, of course, we'll see about KJ Hamler moving forward, but it's hard to differentiate wide receiver number two versus wide receiver number five or six, right? Like, you know, there's not a lot of, so how the pecking order unfolds and the belief that, you're just trying to get guys in space, and that's fair. But I think, you know, you want to see, I would love to see a more established hierarchy. You want to see a number two, a number three, a number four come along. They have not had a third they haven't had a third receiving option at all, let alone a third wide receiver. Daniel George and Justin Shorter kind of going back and forth. And you saw Daniel George again in this game, like a key drop early. You got to iron that stuff out. What they were able to do at Minnesota was Tanner Morgan made huge strides. And Tanner Morgan was on the same page with Kirk Ciarrocca, it seemed, from the get-go. And that's what leads to a career year. Now, getting Sean Clifford on the same page with Kirk Ciarrocca, simplify the concepts and use your talent accordingly. See that. And I think, I don't know if I want to see it necessarily, but it's just what's going to happen. The strength of this offense, I think, is going to be in the running game next year. And that includes Sean Clifford as a runner. But at the same time, you know, moving to a coordinator who might want to use that without overusing the quarterback run. Because if you're overusing the quarterback run, which again, I think that has happened at least the last two seasons, your quarterback's never going to be 100%. So use it, show it, threaten it, make the defense account for it, get key yardage on third downs with it. But let's not see Sean Clifford carry it 12 to 14 times a game either.
That's exactly it. The last couple seasons, they have been beaten up. You saw McSorley at the end of 2018, obviously,
and
we saw it this year.
The effect that has on the offense.
It's huge because you don't have that threat. If you watched, I think Clemson saved Trevor Lawrence to the end of the year when they needed him to run. Yeah. And you saw that against Ohio State. He was phenomenal running the ball, and everyone's saying, where did that come from? So use it sparingly, but to better success. And as you said, if you start with a base of you've got four good running backs, maybe six, and I'll be interested, and I'm going to beat this drum one more time, are there ways that you could put two running backs in the game at the same time? Obviously, you can. We've seen it very, very sparingly. I know I saw it one time against Pitt. Correct me if it happened more often.
I can't recite any other occasions really that it jumped out to me, but
I look at these guys. There, you have so many weapons, and the more weapons you could get on the field at the same time, the better.
Yeah.
And running back, they're full of weapons.
I think so. I think what you have a better shot of doing is having a more clear-cut offensive identity and playing to that identity, making adjustments along the way for your personnel groups and for what the opposing defense is trying to do to you. But the best offenses, I think, okay, I see what you're trying to do. We're going to make subtle adjustments. We're not going to change everything about how we do it. So I think Kirk Ciarrocca will bring that experience to the table, and I think you'll see a Penn State offense that you can trust what they're trying to do and why they're trying to do it. We're going to move on for now here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Greg Pickle is not here, so we're not going to do Ask Greg. We're going to do Ask Dustin instead. I'm going to take your Penn State football questions here in just a second.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift for the Penn State fan in your life? Then you have to go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out the Tailgate Christmas gift box, filled with their famous sauces and rubs and even a Tailgate Club apron, all in a gift box shipped directly to you. And for a 10% discount, be sure to use code KSN on checkout. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and don't forget to use the code KSN on checkout for a 10% discount.